Kaufman's commentary and comments on Luke 21 verses 34 through 38 are as follows. The first two verses, 34 to 36, take as far as the phrase, take heed to yourselves, Kaufman says, this means that men should give more attention to their own spiritual condition than to such questions as the apostles just raised. The vital thing that concerns every person ever born in this relationship to God in Christ, and as this is the practical concern of greatest importance, Jesus concluded this teaching with this appeal for patient, godly living on the part of his followers. Now the phrase, with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. It is noteworthy that cares of this life appears here as equally detrimental in some people as significant sins are in others. So Kaufman is saying this is a point that we all should note, that getting distracted by the cares of this life is just as detrimental as these other open sins that everyone knows about. So this is a heed of warning to all of us. And then, suddenly as a snare, Jesus here stated that the second coming will thus come upon all who dwell on the face of all the earth. Thus, none shall expect him at the time of his coming. And as we read, there were warnings that preluded the destruction of Jerusalem, but there were no warnings. Peter said that the Son of Man will come as a thief in the night. And there is no thief that ever called the victim first to let them know, hey, sometime here I'm going to be robbing you. That never happens. And that there will be no foretelling, no sign ahead as warning for the judgment. It will come unannounced at any time, just as a thief will come. So none will expect the Messiah at the time of his coming. There will not be any group of people that are waiting for Jesus' return and say, well, he came right on time. This was exactly the time we knew he would come, and he came just as we had calculated. That is not going to happen. It will catch everyone by surprise, and everyone that thinks that they have figured out the time when Jesus will come, guess what? He will not come. There's been many, many people in the past that have predicted, and they've all been wrong, and they will always be wrong to the end of time. Jesus will not come when anyone is expecting him, except those that are continually expecting. But it won't come on a specific time frame. We're always to watch and pray, always. Okay, so watch that you may escape, Kaufman says. The Christians escape the siege of Jerusalem through heeding Jesus' words. The admonition here of the destruction of the earth is that if his disciples watch and are obedient and righteous, they shall escape the disasters accompanying the second coming. And this is referenced in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. So, Jesus had given the Christians that were living in Jerusalem signs, and then ultimately, when the armies surround Jerusalem, that's when you get out. That's your last chance. And so then, they were able to heed Jesus' words there, and his same warning and words for all Christians until the end of time are to watch and be obedient and be righteous, and so that those Christians will be able to escape the disaster accompanying the second coming. Now the phrase, to stand before the Son of Man in judgment. These words foretell of glorious majesty pertaining to the Messiah in the final judgment. The disciples were either standing or sitting with Jesus when these words were uttered, and they found no discomfort whatever in his presence. But the scene here transferred to the great examination when the great and terrible day of the Lord has come, and who will be able to stand. And he gets those two references from 2 Corinthians 5:10 and Revelation 6:17. Okay, so the last two verses, verses 37 and 38, the first phrase that Jesus lodged in the mountain that is called Olivet, Adam Clark thought Jesus stayed each night in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany, a village located on the nearby slopes of Mount Olivet. But the Greek word translated abode or lodged in this verse means literally to lodge in the open. Thus it seems that Jesus spent the nights in the open on the Mount of Olives, because that's what that word from Greek that got translated, that he abode on the mount, it means in the open. So it can't, by a definition of the Greek word, Jesus could not have been staying with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they did not live on the mountain anyway. They lived in Bethany. Okay. So I don't know. I'm not understanding why Adam Clark missed that and didn't understand that. But anyway, it is also significant that Jesus apparently never spent a night in Jerusalem except as a prisoner, which was the night of this occasion that Jesus was saying this. This would be the only night that is ever recorded that he spent in Jerusalem. And this is the reasoning that Kaufman comes up with. God's displeasure because of Jerusalem's rebellion against himself was never more evident than in such a fact of this, as this. So Jerusalem was so rebellious against God that God would not allow his unique son to spend one night in Jerusalem, except when he was taken there as a prisoner and didn't have a choice. But then that was God's plan also, that he be sacrificed. Okay. And then the phrase, and all the people came early in the morning. This has reference to the daily schedule of teachings that was followed by Jesus on at least Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This mention of the early hour shows that the days were very long working periods and filled to the utmost with teaching by the Master. Okay, now he finishes up with one paragraph here that is kind of going from here to the end of Luke. And that's about the trial and Jesus' crucifixion. He has a one-paragraph overview here. The last public teaching, as far as we know, had been completed when Jesus praised the widow's two mites and had lifted the perspective all the way to final judgment. Only the deed upon which everything else depended remained to be enacted. So there was... And that was the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. So that was the only thing that was left. Jesus had already publicly taught them all that he was going to do. As far as the Jews, in public. And the inspired evangelist, Luke's final three chapters, deal with this final act and consummation of Jesus' redemptive mission on earth. Like the other three gospel accounts, Luke's account is original, fresh, independent, historical, and totally in harmony with all the other three accounts. The gospel accounts form a composite description of the most important week ever lived upon this earth. In these recordings is unveiled that Jesus is God's offering for human transgression. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will start with Luke chapter 22 next week.